Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Wednesday, January 18th. I am fresh off of a flight, so I am a little bit tired, but feeling good. Other than I miss California, I'm bummed to be back in Utah. I was surfing earlier this morning, and it's kind of a sad reality that I'm back to wearing like three coats.
I mean, there's not snow on the ground exactly where we are.
It's depressing. It is nice being back home, though. There's a lot to talk about. I was in Vegas over the weekend, and then obviously California. During the weekend, there was the NFL playoffs. Mm-hmm. Wild card round. A lot happened. We'll go through each game quickly. Well, I don't know about super quickly, but we'll go through each game, and then we'll talk about the divisional round coming up. So mostly NFL playoffs. We do have to start with some college recruiting, NIL. I don't know how we want to call it or even classify the Jaden Rashada story at this point. Before we dive into Jaden Rashada and then the NFL playoffs, is there anything we want to discuss? Can't think of anything.
Well, I think you got to tell us about Vegas. Did you win any money? How did your, I know you had a fantasy draft that happened.
Yes, we were there for our fantasy football winter meetings. So it's pretty eventful. My dynasty team, I know everyone loves hearing about other teams, fantasy football teams. We're in a rebuilding mode, though. So I had five first-round picks, three of which were in the lottery. And for the lottery this year, we went to Vegas, and we went to the roulette table, and I got to pick. So I had the first odds, the third odds, and the fourth odds, and another guy had the second-best odds. So I finished like four. I finished last, and I had other players' picks who finished third to last and fourth to last. So basically, I got most of the roulette numbers, and we just picked, like, I got to pick a bunch of numbers, and he got to pick the next bunch, so on and so forth. So long story short, I won the first pick, so I'm picking Bijan Robinson. Hopefully no one listens to this, because I know my draft strategy. Then he got second pick. I got the third pick, which I've already traded away, and the fourth pick. So I should be able to get Bijan Robinson, and then CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, I think, will go 2 and 3. And then after that, I'll be able to get Will Levis, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, and either Jamar Gibbs or trade that pick for a future pick. So very excited. As far as the gambling goes, I lost 60 in blackjack, not as quickly as I lost your 100 bucks the one time we were in Vegas.
So longer than 30 seconds?
Yeah, it did last longer than 30 seconds, but that was a bummer. But one, I finished 34 up. So whatever the math is, because I won 20 in roulette and everything else, I won from sports betting. But yeah, the one time did we tell that story?
Let's tell it again. I don't know that we have, but I think it's a good one.
So we were driving, me, Matt, my mom, were driving to Sequoia National Park and Kings Canyon National Park. To get there from Utah, you go through Vegas and then like back up through Bakersfield and stuff. But our car broke down in the middle of the California desert. So we had to get hauled back to Vegas. So we were there for the night. In the morning, I was up before everybody else, so I was getting ready quicker. So I was like, I'll just go kill my time, you know, playing at the casino in the hotel. So I was like, Matt had cash, I did not. So I was like, can I borrow some money? I'll give it obviously back.
Well, the other thing is, I think I owed you $80, like you had paid for gas the last time or something. So I owed you that money.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
So you didn't need, you never paid me back, but you weren't supposed to.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So I just, Matt gave me the cash that he owed me, I guess, unquote. And I was literally just going to hang time, kill time. Figured at most I'd be up or down 20 or 30 bucks, you know, just because I was going to be there like half an hour, 45 minutes. I literally lost all of the money in a minute or less. Like, because I was the only one at the table. So it was playing very fast. And every hand, the dealer got 21. Or 20. It was like the most unlucky thing in the world. So that was really frustrating. So it went better than that time.
Well, that's good.
It couldn't have gone worse.
Yeah.
It went better than last time. It's important if you're in Vegas to have limits. You know, I knew once I got to 50, I was going to be out.
Yes. Which is why you lost 60.
Well, the 10 I technically put on a roulette just for fun. So,
I see.
But like in that day, that like hour or so, I lost 60.
Yeah.
But yeah, I made it back from sports betting, and then on my way out, I put 20 on red just for kicks, and that hit. So
yeah,
won 34 in total, which paid for like half of the dinner.
Nice. There.
Food's expensive in Vegas.
Food is expensive in Vegas. It's good food in Vegas. As long as you know where to go, It's not like any of the food cities that we mentioned when we did the top five a little while ago. But if you know where to go, you can get some really good food.
You can get some really good, very expensive food. It was a great time. The surfing was great. Just surfed like 3 times, I think. And there's a storm in California, which you're obviously aware of. Mm-hmm. And it was mostly in Northern California, but made for some huge waves. So Monday when I was surfing, or Tuesday, it was literally like probably 8 to 12 foot waves. I have choppy, consistent, like it was rough. Like, I don't think I caught anything.
Right.
I just got my butt handed to me the whole time.
Yeah. But you're a pretty good surfer.
I'm competent for sure.
Yeah. You're a very good surfer compared to other people who live in Utah.
Yeah. For Utah, I'm very good.
Right.
Yeah. For California, I'm probably average, slightly below average.
Sure.
But I don't live in California. But today was great. You know, not a little much more calmer. Caught a bunch. Again, sad that I'm surfing this morning. We did go sunset surfing last night. And that was just like the prettiest thing in the world. You know, me and my buddy were the only ones in the water. Sun was setting. It wasn't me and my high school buddy. If it was me and a girl, it'd be very romantic. But it wasn't. It was just cool.
Sure.
Yeah. It was fun. Rafael Nadal lost in the Australian Open. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, lost in the second round.
Yeah.
To an American, I believe.
Hey, I love when Americans do good at tennis. Doesn't happen very much.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've kind of come around on Nadal because I think both of us are Federer guys.
Federer's the man, 100%. Yeah.
Love Federer, and so I feel like we both kind of picked that side. And then we went to Chile for 2 years, didn't hear anything about tennis. Really any sport, but tennis in particular. And then we come back, and this Djokovic guy is winning all these tournaments. And I was offended. It's like, hey, we had this cool rivalry thing going on. And then Djokovic has come in and ruined it, because I'd never heard of Djokovic. We left in 2011, and I don't think anybody had heard of Djokovic at this time.
It seems like no one likes Djokovic either.
Yeah.
It seems like everybody's either Nadal or Federer, even though Djokovic has been the best for years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know really anything about Djokovic except for some of the COVID stuff and him, you know, not being down with the restrictions and not being particularly careful. So I don't want to judge him based only off that, but, you know, certainly just for the – I like a two-person rivalry, you know? Like, that's why I think the Messi-Ronaldo thing is such a big deal, that it's really just those two. I think it's really, really special. But anyway, so when Nadal started coming around and he had his resurgence, like, this feels like the old days, you know?
Yeah, the Federer-Nadal Wimbledon's finals were really golden age of tennis, men's tennis in a lot of ways, and it's kind of sad we're at the end of that.
Yes, and when you say the golden age of tennis, you're speaking of someone who knows, I don't know anything about the history.
From what I've been told.
Sure.
Like, you know, there's obviously, you know, like, Agassi, McEnroe, like Boris Becker, there's obviously been fantastic players, but from people who know more than us, it sounds like Federer and Nadal are the best, and Djokovic at this point are the best. So, like, them playing, like, overlapping for so long has been pretty special.
Right.
And it's kind of like when Tiger Woods lost his dominance. If you're a golf fan, you follow it still, but
right.
How many golfers can you name? Less than 10?
Oh, I think I can get 10.
Try it right now.
Okay, Tiger Woods counts, right?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. So, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Arnold Palmer.
No, active golfers.
Oh, active golfers. Yeah. Okay.
So, we'll count the first two.
Okay, well, LIV counts.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau. Joaquin Niemann.
Chilean. Our guy.
And the other, Mito Pereira.
Okay.
Is 5.
So those two you only know because you surf in Chile, but we'll count.
Okay, sure. Ricky Fowler.
Okay, awesome.
Jordan Spieth.
These are all guys I talk about a lot.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't say, I mean, 10 just seems like a reasonable number, and I'm at 7, okay. Which I think is pretty good.
Okay.
And I said Bryson DeChambeau.
You did say Bryson DeChambeau.
Okay.
I'm impressed you've gotten this far, just because you don't watch any golf.
There's the, what's his, Irish Rory McIlroy.
Northern Irish.
Northern Irish.
Big distinction.
Yeah, shout out to Northern Ireland. And the guy who won the Olympics was from Great Britain.
In 2020, he was from the United States.
Yes. And I know exactly what my man looks like. I know exactly what he looks like. What about
I followed that guy's group when I was in at the Torrey Pines tournament. I followed him and him around.
There's a guy I'm thinking of who's got like curly hair, and nobody Patrick Reed.
Oh, the one everyone hates?
Yes.
Yeah.
Patrick Reed.
It's so funny. Everyone likes every golfer. Like, literally, everyone in the world hates Patrick Reed. But, like, any other golfer, people at worst are like, oh, he's fine.
Right,
that's
yeah.
so weird.
Yeah, nobody, and that's the old, I don't know anything about him except that everybody hates him.
Oh, he sucks. I don't know why, but I don't like him either.
Yeah.
I don't even know what tour he's on. I think he's at LIV. Is it LIV or LIV? I've been saying LIV.
I don't know. I've been saying LIV. Why did I say LIV? Because they're all capitalized.
Well, they're technically the Roman numerals for 54.
Is that on purpose?
Yeah, because if you... So they play 3 days instead of four.
Uh-huh.
And if you birdie... like, well, that doesn't matter for this. But if you birdie every hole on a par 72, you get a 54. So that's why that is.
Interesting.
That yeah.
seems unnecessary.
Well, yeah, because no one's doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what else you call it. The Saudi money grab.
Right. Like, yeah. So anyway, so I'm at 9.
You're at 9.
I gotta be able to get one more.
Well, there's one that you haven't named that you really should have. Wait, did you? I don't want to say it, but.
I mean, I said Tiger and I said Phil Mickelson to start.
Yeah.
And that's not who you think I should have said.
No.
Okay. We're not going to take more than like a minute for me to do this.
There's a very obvious hint in the room we're in of the guy you should be thinking of.
Okay. So I'm looking at Anthony Porosky's cooking book.
It's not that. I didn't say right in front of you, but right. in the room.
Oh, Tony Finau.
Yeah.
Tony Finau.
Matt literally wore a Tony Finau beanie today and forgot him.
Yeah.
So
I love Tony Finau, despite the fact I couldn't think of him.
That is 10.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, 10 golfers. I think that's pretty good.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
Can I say that I would, if you gave me golfers' names, I'd be like, oh yeah, I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
how many hockey players do you think you can name? Active hockey players.
Oh, I know Connor McDavid.
Okay, that's one.
And Zubats.
I think you made that up.
No, there's well, Zubat is a Pokemon. I'm not going to try to name any, but I know there's a guy named Zubats. There's the Russian fellow who's breaking some records this season.
Ovechkin?
Yeah.
Because I can name less than five, and McGregor, what's his name? I guess I can't name that guy. You just named him.
Oh, I think Subban.
Subban. Oh, PK Subban?
Yes.
I think he has a brother, too.
Yes, I think... well, Malcolm Subban is one. Yeah, PK Subban, and then there's Malcolm Subban.
And they're brothers.
They are brothers. And I think the reason I remembered them is probably because they're black, and I think they... I mean, I assume they're both good. Like, I feel like you have to be good to get in the league, obviously, but I think that it's an unusual thing, and I probably... I do remember seeing a story or something where they talked about, like, how it's hard to grow up being black and getting into these hockey leagues and for people to take him seriously.
Well, yeah, because PK Subban, I think a few years ago, was in the news for something, and maybe I'm just making this up, but I thought he was in the news in general because, like, a fan or fans had said something racist towards him.
Yes, no, I remember that.
And ESPN probably did a story. The only other hockey player that I know, African-American hockey player, was named Evander Kane because he played for the Sharks, and I felt like... That's my favorite team, so I feel like I should know a player on the team.
Yeah.
So I just picked that guy because he seemed cool. And he got in trouble for betting on hockey, so pick the wrong guy.
Yeah, not ideal.
But yeah, so I don't even know if he's still playing or not.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably the most hockey we'll talk about.
Yeah. Should we? Yeah. Well, now, in a couple of years, in 2026, we're going to talk so much hockey for the Olympics.
Well, the NHL said they're not going to let their players go.
Oh, they just... I thought they were going to change their mind.
Did they?
Well, they were talking about changing their mind.
I hope they do.
But they might not. They said there was going to be a decision soon, but you may have heard that.
No, I heard was 2022 or whatever. So
it'd be a lot more fun. I mean, we'd certainly pay more attention.
Yeah.
So NHL, if you're listening to this, let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Shall we talk about sports that we watch?
Yeah, let's talk about Jaden Rashada real quick.
Yeah.
So, fascinating story. The whole weekend I was just refreshing my Twitter every couple hours. So, Jaden Rashada, high school quarterback from the Bay Area, committed to the University of Miami in like September or something over Florida, Ole Miss, LSU, and Texas A&M, I believe, were the finalists, so all like SEC-type schools.
Right.
And then a month or two later, decommitted from Florida, Miami, flipped to University of Florida, reported NIL deal $13 million. Mm-hmm. I would go most places for $13 million.
Absolutely.
So, plus, Florida's a fantastic school. Bill Napier's a great coach so far. So no issue there. Fast forward to signing day. Jaden Rashada is the last Florida player to fax in his national letter of intent, his NLI. That's confusing. We're saying NLI and NIL, and they mean two very different things, but they're very related.
Yes.
So Florida actually had to delay the recruitment process or like press conference because Jaden Rashada took so long to fax it in during the early signing period.
Uh-huh.
But he did get it faxed in. And then fast forward to January, and he's not on campus. And everybody's like, where is this guy? Five-star quarterback. And it's being reported that the NIL collective doesn't have $13 million to pay him. So his dad at the beginning of the week is like, oh, we're working through some stuff with the University of Florida. Deadline passes, like the ad drop deadline of the University of Florida passes. He's not there. So he's not going to Florida for spring ball. Basically, they don't have $13 million to pay him.
Right.
And they offered it to him, though. So he naturally was like, well, you told me you were going to do this, so I'm not going to play for you because you lied to me, which I think is pretty reasonable.
Right.
Some people who are exclusively Florida fans and can't see the reality are upset at him. And everybody else is like, no, that's fair.
Yeah, you make a deal, you got to go through the deal. Yeah,
exactly. And again, Florida can't make deals directly with players, so this isn't on Billy Napier or the athletic director, but it's on somebody from Florida.
Somebody messed up.
Somebody screwed up. So now his recruitment's back open. Florida did let him out of his national letter of intent, so he doesn't have to transfer. But it's interesting because I was telling you off air, most schools took a quarterback in the early signing period. But this guy's five-star. He's a very talented player from Pittsburgh, California. I'm interested to see if he signs somewhere that already has a quarterback. Does that other guy transfer? Will he go somewhere that didn't sign a quarterback? His brothers play at BYU. He took a visit there. Now, that's not on his list of top five schools, understandably. But this late in the process, maybe plays a year with his brother and transfer somewhere else.
Sure, yeah. You know, get a year in. That'd be fun.
Yeah, so that'd be ideal. That's really realistically not going to happen. But high school recruiting is fascinating, especially now.
Yeah, it's very interesting. One of the things that I was thinking about, because I only heard about this from you, but I've just been thinking about, you know, when we started hearing about all these NIL deals, everything sounds so good. And I think now, you know, we're starting to realize that since these things are not coming from the school, I think they're very often not going to be as good as they sound. Like, I know a lot of, like, I've heard a lot about the whole track team has a sponsorship, or the whole, you know, women's athletic department gets a scholarship, right? And I feel like we had, Nola Nufe came on, our cousin, and he was talking about his deal. And that was pretty much as like, he only got money if he got people to sign up for the thing.
Right. Yeah. Offensive lineman at an FCS school.
Yeah. So it's kind of like he got a job, right?
Yeah.
And
like an influencer.
Sure. And they were honest about him. It's not like they lied to him or anything, but I feel like, you know, we hear this $13 million. That's not going to go through, obviously. And so this is why I think it would be so much better if the money actually came from the schools and the schools could just pay the players, because then all this stuff is above board and, you know, kids are not going to get screwed out of money that somebody's promised them.
Well, yeah, because they can make bad deals. Like they can, like the people can put stuff in the paperwork that screws the kids. And just because, you know, they're 18, even the parents, like they probably aren't, unless they have a lawyer, they're not knowing what to look for.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't know that, you know, I necessarily trust every athletic department at the kids' best interests of mine, but I would certainly rather be making a deal with the University of Florida than the boosters of the University of Florida.
Exactly. No one's if you're the boosters. And also, it's just distracting from like how much money the schools make. Like coaches are getting paid over $10 million and that money's still not going to any of the players. So like they can make money off their own name, image, and likeness, which is great. But I feel like that's like a completely separate thing from the fact that they should be getting some of the actual revenue.
Yes, absolutely.
And we've all just forgotten that just because there's like quote-unquote $13 million deals going around. Also, after football, it's reported that women make a lot more money than men because I think there's an LSU gymnast who makes like a ton of money.
From being like this influencer.
Yeah, it's just influencer thing. Like she happens to be a gymnast, a very good one. And I think that's just helped grow her overall platform.
Right.
You know, where before she wouldn't be allowed to do anything because she's an athlete. But now being an athlete is just like one part of her brand.
Right. That's interesting.
And there's a lot of female athletes like that.
Yeah.
So, or there's like some twins on the like women on the University of Miami basketball team who have like a few hundred thousand followers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's tons of cases. I'm just naming those couple that I'm aware of. But
yeah. This is kind of beside the point, but $13 million, that obviously is a lot. Let's say like a quarterback is obviously going to make more money in the NFL. How much is like a second round draft pick a quarterback going to make on their rookie deal?
Let's look it up.
Just because like I know that after Sam Bradford had that enormous contract, they really cut down what teams were able to give players on their rookie deals just in time for Cam Newton.
Yeah. Well, CJ Stroud almost came back to Ohio State because the NIL was going to pay him, but they only got up to about $4.5 million and a top five pick. And this is from last year. But number five pick, Kayvon Thibodeau, got a $34 million signing bonus. If we skip down to pick number 32, Lewis Cine got a $12.5 million signing bonus. And that's pretty slotted. There's not a lot of negotiation there.
Yeah.
So second round pick is going to be lower than $12 million. Sure. Let's see. Schedule make. First player picked in the second round will receive a four-year contract worth about $9.9 million so that's the overall contract value, not signing bonus. I apologize.
Okay.
But it drops from 12 to 9 from 32 to 33 overall pick.
So 13 million though, that's like being picked at the bottom of the first round then.
Yeah.
But and you get it, he would get it in 1 year, presumably.
Well, yes. It's four, like that was the deal, like four being in Florida. And I don't have like the payout schedule, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like it was contingent on him being at Florida for, I think, at least 3 years,
yeah,
which is when you're draft eligible.
Right.
From what's been reported, obviously, because it's not through the schools, none of this is above board and official. So we're just talking about what's been reported by veritable reporters.
Yeah.
Is veritable a word?
Yeah, that's a word.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. We are going to get a 30 for 30 in 15 to 20 years, I think. And it's just going to have a ton of players talking about how they had these huge NIL deals and didn't actually get any money.
Well, I'm sad, but excited to see the 30 for 30.
It'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
Very sad. But.
So, and now from my understanding, and again, I don't know, but this is just me putting two and two together. He can't sign anywhere until February because, you know, he's out of his NIL deal. I don't know how they're going to treat that, but the next signing period is in February.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. He definitely won't be anywhere for spring ball.
Yeah.
Because unless it goes on like to a quarter school, because Florida is a semester school. College is so weird.
Yeah, college is very strange.
Should we talk some NFL playoffs?
Yeah, let's talk NFL playoffs.
Let's just go through kind of the wild card games off top of my head and then go through the division rounds. The first game was the best game of all. 49ers just beat the brakes off of the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Brock Purdy is, would you say he's better, closer to Dan Marino or John Elway? Where would you put him in?
Well, hey, I mean, why don't we, if he's on the 49ers, why aren't we picking between Steve Young and Joe Montana?
Well, he's obviously better than both of those guys.
Sure.
He has a better winning percentage than both those guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Which is something very reliable at this point.
Yeah. So, Brock Purdy, it's clear that Brock Purdy is, it's so crazy. I haven't enjoyed watching the 49ers since like high school.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, like, I've seen you excited about the 49ers quarterback situation really never. Like, you were excited Alex Smith was on the team, but, like, he wasn't. He was never the best quarterback in the league. He was throwing all those interceptions over the years. He gets benched by Colin Kaepernick, and it bears saying on this podcast, Jake was not a fan of Colin Kaepernick years before all of the kneeling stuff.
I was the original Colin Kaepernick hater.
Yes.
So it bugs me now, because I don't like him because he's bad at football.
Right.
So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, I just feel like that point bears clarification.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so it's interesting to see you, like, actually think the 49ers have a good quarterback, and it's Mr. Irrelevant.
It's so fun. Well, yeah, I mean, like you said, Alex Smith was never the best quarterback in the league, and now we do have the best quarterback in the league.
Right.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so much nicer. I literally, like, the San Francisco Giants, when they lose, I get sad. When the Niners lose, and they haven't lost with Brock Purdy, I get pissed off and frustrated because Jimmy Garoppolo is stepping out of the back of the end zone, or Colin Kaepernick is throwing three interceptions in the fourth quarter, or stuff like that. You know what I mean? It just makes me mad. But I don't have any of those feelings.
No.
Because Brock Purdy's amazing.
Right.
And we destroyed Seattle, playing Dallas, and we'll go out of order, I guess, who also destroyed Tampa. Did you watch any of that game?
I did not see any of that game.
First of all, Dallas's kicker missed four extra points. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Like, why don't you just go for two after the second one?
Certainly the fourth time you just got to go for two.
And they weren't even, like, close. Like, they missed the net.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen an NFL kicker miss the net.
He missed more extra points this year than, like, his career. Like, it was, or that day than his entire career.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It was insane.
And he still won.
They still won because Tampa Bay did not look good. It was, like, just so weird because, like, they were so fantastic. Like, the offensive line's kind of a mess. The defense should be good still. Like, Devin White is one of my favorite linebackers. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. Really good receiving core. Two good running backs. You know, Tom Brady's obviously on the team. So we'll see what happens next year in Tampa. Tom Brady's probably gone. But I guess you never know.
Never know. I mean, honestly, if my wife divorced me for playing too much football, I feel like I would have too much pride to retire after 1 year.
Yeah, you don't get divorced from Giselle just to lose in the division, like, wild card round of the Dallas Cowboys. You keep playing.
You got to go 3 more years at least.
You're all in at this point.
For sure.
Might not be with Tampa, but Brady's all in.
That's how I feel. You gotta keep going. Yeah. You got to get to 50.
If it was worth your marriage, then it wasn't just one season. Like, there's no way this one season was worth your marriage. So yeah. You got to keep going.
Right.
Dallas, and it brings us to a Dallas 49ers divisional round game. Last year, Niners beat the Cowboys in the wild card round. It's probably my favorite, being a Niners fan. It's just like a classic playoff matchup.
I do love a Cowboys 49ers playoff matchup. And this year's going to be really interesting. I mean, Dallas always has a really, really good offensive line. But I think Denver's got the defense to be able to get to Dak Prescott and, you know, do all the things they need
49ers
to do.
Have the defense?
I mean, their defense, yes. Yeah, 49ers do. I mean, 49ers defense is just so good. I mean, you saw how many games they won with Jimmy Garoppolo. Like,
yeah.
So their defense had to be amazing, and now they have a good quarterback.
Do you want
to
hear some fun Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy stats?
I would love to hear.
Do you know that they have the same amount of playoff touchdowns?
That is remarkable.
It is! I'm sorry. I scared my cat. Sorry, Posey. They have the same amount of playoff touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo leads the league in playoff games won without throwing a touchdown pass.
That is an astounding.
I feel like that should prove my point. Like, my point, everyone's like, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo, they win so much without him. And it's like, Kyle Shanahan could win. If you name a quarterback, Kyle Shanahan would be above 500.
Yeah.
Like a starting to even a back, like Gardner Minshew on the 49ers, they go 10-7.
Yeah.
No problem.
I like to see Tyler Huntley on the 49ers.
Yeah. It'd be fantastic. Like, and do you know what Brock Purdy doesn't do? Step out of the back of the end zone.
Throw with his eyes closed?
We lost to the Broncos. Yeah, it was so stupid. My standard for quarterbacks, and I feel like this is obscenely low, is in a championship game or scenario, mm-hmm. you can't have a passer rating lower than 10. Both Colin Kaepernick and Jimmy Garoppolo have not met that threshold. Mm-hmm. If you can't reach that threshold, I'm not interested in you. And again, lower than 10. That's an obscenely low. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
It's just double-digit passer rating. You know?
That seems fair. Now with Brock Purdy, I'm curious. Do you feel like... Because obviously he has not let the pressure get to him. Do you think he just really is that dude and it doesn't get to him? Or does he just feel like, hey, this is all, I'm playing with house money. I could go out and I could throw 12 interceptions and I still did way better than anybody expected me to.
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, first of all, when he was at Iowa State, like, before he came out, he's being talked about as, a first-round pick. So I'm not sure why he went to the seventh round, honestly, other than, like, being on, like, there's nothing fantastic that he does. But he took Iowa State to two conference championships. And Iowa State, when we were growing up, was, like, the Jets of college football. Like, they couldn't do anything.
Right.
And now, like, Iowa State, like, they might have made a bowl game this year.
Good for them.
I don't even know. But like with Brock Purdy, they were competing for the Big 12. They beat Oklahoma. I think obviously beat Texas. Everyone beat Texas back in the day.
Right.
Like he's just a winner. He was a Gatorade Player of the Year in Arizona. Not heavily recruited, which is why he ended up at Iowa State. But he just like does, when I say he doesn't do anything well, I'm talking like athletically. He does do a lot of stuff well from, like, a quarterback perspective. Mm-hmm. And also goes back to Kyle Shanahan. Anyone could have a winning record with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
And they have the best – Nick Bosa is legitimately the best defensive player in the league. They have the best – I think the best defense. They have the best left tackle, best group of weapons in the league. He's just set up perfectly. Mm-hmm. Combined with he can actually push the ball down the field. We've gone over the 30 air yard stat for the 49ers, right?
Certainly not this week, so go ahead and give it again.
So, the last, I just love bashing Jimmy Garoppolo. So, 49ers to throw a touchdown pass 30 air yards or more last, since 2019, I think. So, it's Brock Purdy, obviously. C.J. Beathard, mm-hmm. who, I don't even know if he's in the league anymore. Deebo Samuel. Christian McCaffrey. Not Jimmy Garoppolo. He threw a touchdown pass that went 30 yards in the air or more. He's thrown a lot of screen passes that have gone for a lot of yards.
Right.
But no, he's not actually pushing the ball down the field. Yeah. And that's been my complaint. Like, if the 49ers could have a quarterback that can get the ball down the field, it just opens up everything. So Purdy plus McCaffrey, which I wasn't a fan of that trade, but my goodness, is Christian McCaffrey good at football?
Yeah.
It just opens up a whole nother level of Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Right.
So I think I'm biased, so you tell me what you think. I think they're going to beat the Cowboys, and it probably won't be super close. Like, I think it'll be a two-score game. I don't think they'll win by 30, but it'll be a two-score game, I think.
Yeah, they're absolutely the favorites. The thing with the Cowboys is that they're such a running team, and they're so good at that. It's kind of like, you know how BYU and Utah can only ever beat Air Force by like a field goal back in the day?
Yeah.
Because Air Force had like 54 minutes of possession. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not going to be quite that extreme. So I feel like that would be why I would lean more towards a closer game. But certainly, you know, with that defense, you know, maybe Dallas has to punt more than they usually do, and that becomes less of an issue.
Well, and also remember, not only do we have the best defensive player, Nick Bosa, but we have the best linebacker, Fred Warner. Mm-hmm. And the other, like, besides quarterback, the other thing I've hated about the 49ers for years is the secondary. And they're average this year. Yeah. They're not best in the league, but from below average to average is a big improvement.
Especially if you've got, you know, the defensive line and the linebackers that they have. You're fine with average
secondary. Exactly. We don't have to do as much. So if CeeDee Lamb doesn't blow up and Tony Pollard doesn't have a bunch of big runs, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And if Micah Parsons plays on the right side and, you know, doesn't let Trent Williams block him, then that's going to be a problem. But I think Brock Purdy can handle it.
Yeah. No, this is, you know, I'm certainly going to be a big 49ers fan this week. So,
yeah. Well, because the Giants, we need to get to the Giants game. Because if the Giants would have lost, then we would have been playing the Vikings and the Eagles would have been playing the Cowboys.
Yes.
Which would have been great. But the Giants did win. Saquon Barkley is incredible. Daniel Jones, and I'm not a Daniel Jones guy, but he had a great game.
He did have a good game, yeah.
The Vikings just didn't really have an answer for either of those two. You know, and Brian Dable, consideration for Coach of the Year, I'd say.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And it's fun to see teams who's like the best player on the team is a running back. just because I feel like we don't see that anymore, and just seeing the team rely on Saquon has been really good. And I think this worked out really best for both of us. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, you probably would have preferred the Giants over the Cowboys, but you're comfortable with the Cowboys. Whereas the Eagles, you know, their weakness is run defense. And so that's why I would have picked the Eagles to beat the Cowboys, but I was certainly hesitant. I feel much better about the Giants, despite, you know, I just said Saquon. He's obviously better than anybody on the Cowboys. I still think overall I would rather just deal with him than that whole offensive line and the whole running back committee that Dallas has.
Yeah, well, in the Eagles-Giants game in Week 18, the Eagles were playing. They knew it was a possibility they would play the Giants again. Mm-hmm. So it ended up being a one-score game. I think like they won by six. But the Eagles were playing like very basic football. Like they knew they were fine for the number one seed at that point. So yeah. I'm not really worried about that.
Sure. Jalen Hurts first week back. That's another
reason. Probably banged up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So him having that bye week is huge. Get healthy again. So as long as Jalen Hurts looks good, I feel good about the Eagles.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think the Eagles will be I think the AFC this round will be have a lot more closer games.
Yeah.
Not the Kansas City Jacksonville game. So maybe there'll only be one close game.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, did you watch any of the Jacksonville Los Angeles game?
Well, I didn't think there was any point because the Chargers were up by so much.
Yeah. When I was in Vegas, I bet on the Jaguars to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost threw that, like, the ticket away because at halftime, I was like, well, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, I didn't.
Right.
Because I would have been just throwing away money. So, hung on to that. Jaguars came back and won. My buddy who we were with is a big Chargers fan, so he wasn't happy. But Trevor Lawrence has become a legitimate top eight NFL quarterback this season.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson's awesome.
I love Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson's great. I want to go back to this ticket thing really quick. I know this is not what we're talking about. Are the casinos still at the point where if you lose your paper ticket, you're just screwed?
Yeah.
They do that on purpose.
Yeah. Well, you can bet on like, you can bet on like the MGM app or whatever.
Right.
But like for that, it's like, I think it's hard to get the money out. And like, if you're there, it's just easier to get a ticket. Just, you got to make sure you don't lose it.
Right. But that's just, that's great. Like, I can't believe that nobody's complained about that and made them change that law. That's ridiculous.
Well, I've seen people like diving in the garbage can for tickets.
Right.
So, don't throw your tickets away
until
the game's absolutely over.
Maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should just, you know, go in the garbage, see what tickets we can pull out. I'm sure that's illegal, though, right?
That's a very specific situation. I don't know how there'd be a law about that, but
I'm sure that there's some sort of...
Well, maybe dumpster diving, and isn't that illegal in general, like going through the dumpster?
I think probably generally, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably frowned upon, for sure.
Uh-huh. So, anyway, like, but your ticket has your name or something on it, right?
No.
Interesting.
It doesn't.
Very interesting.
So,
maybe we could just stand by dumpsters and say, please, sir, if you don't want your ticket anymore, I'll have it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, because I've seen that. It almost happened to me.
Almost happened to
you. So, yeah, don't throw your tickets away.
Don't throw your tickets away.
but, yeah, so I think Kansas City's too good. I think Jacksonville's been fun and is a great win. I think it's the end of the road.
Yeah, no, it's good. It'll be a good story. I was happy to see them win so that they, you know, since 1995, Jacksonville is one of the many teams that has had more playoff wins than the Dallas Cowboys. So I would like to see them stay ahead for as long as possible. So I was happy to see them pull that out.
Well, I think they'll both lose this weekend, so you'll still be fine.
So we still should be good to go.
Yeah. And last game, Bills-Bengals, rematch of the game where DeMar Hamlin got hurt. It's in Buffalo. I think it should be in a neutral site. Bills are 12-3 or 13-3. Bengals finished 12-4. They had a chance to get home field advantage over the Bills. Game got canceled. That's not the issue. Understandable reasons. But I don't think it's fair to the Cincinnati that they had a chance to even it up and get home field, that they don't get at least a neutral site game. That being said, it is in Buffalo. Everyone's talking about how bad the Bengals looked against the Ravens. The Bills are 5.5-point favorites as of right now. The Bills almost lost to Will Howard. Like, was it Will or Skylar Howard? Skylar Howard. Will Howard currently plays for Kansas State. Skylar Howard used to play for Kansas State.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar Thompson. No, Will Howard is the quarterback who transferred from LSU to Ole Miss. There's a lot of football players. Skylar Thompson. 7th-round pick, ahead of Brock Purdy.
Hey.
Bills almost lost to him. They let Skylar Howard move the ball. Miami had a couple drops that would have put him in an even better position. So I don't know why everyone's just, like, obsessed with the Bills. like the whole season, they were like obvious Super Bowl favorite, the Bills. Like the Bills haven't really done anything ever in the playoffs. Josh Allen's never won anything. Like they're very good, but Cincinnati went to the Super Bowl last year. I don't see why we're forgetting about Cincinnati.
Yeah. Do you think we've overcorrected a bit on Josh Allen just because at the beginning it was like, oh, Josh Allen is terrible, and now he's very clearly the number two quarterback in the league behind Patrick Mahomes, when, you know, in my mind, maybe he, even though he's obviously excellent, I feel like we maybe should have waited until he won, you know, a couple playoff games or went to even a conference finals, not even the Super Bowl.
Yeah, like I think Joe Burrow's better than Allen, and I would take Burrow in a heartbeat over Josh Allen. Yeah. And Allen's very good.
Yeah.
But I think Joe Burrow's better because Joe Burrow's like proven it. And right. Josh Allen hasn't really done anything in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, that actually leads us into our top five, which is quarterbacks remaining in the playoffs. So unless there's any other Bills Bengals stuff, we can get to that.
No, let's do it.
Okay. Here's my top five quarterbacks left in the 2023 playoffs. Ready?
Ready.
Number five, Jalen Hurts, legit MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. Number four, Josh Allen. No, just kind of said it all. Number three, Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Went to the Super Bowl. Great head of hair.
Yeah.
Number two, Patrick Mahomes. One of the best players of all time.
Yes.
Number one is obviously Brock Purdy.
Sure.
I mean, has anyone else lost? Not lost besides Brock Purdy? They're winning games by double digits with Brock Purdy. Like, they're just destroying
they
teams.
They are. You know, now, Jalen Hurts' only loss was back in, you know, November when Brock Purdy was still on the bench.
Yeah.
I feel like that means something.
Yeah, he's in the top five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I obviously want to get Jalen Hurts as high as possible.
You can't put him above Purdy, obviously. So who else?
No, he has to be. Obviously, he's ahead of Purdy. So really quickly, the three quarterbacks that we have not named are Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones, and Dak Prescott.
Right? Yeah. And if we're ranking those, I would say Trevor 6, Dak 7, Daniel Jones 8. And I want to put Trevor Jones in the top five or Trevor Lawrence in the top five. I just felt like Hurts, as a legitimate MVP candidate,
yeah,
who Mahomes should win, but Hurts should be a candidate. I couldn't put Trevor Lawrence above him, mm-hmm. but it's kind of like a 5A, 5B situation.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like Hurts should win the MVP because I feel he only lost one game. The Eagles really did not look themselves, looked like a totally different football team without him. I mean, they certainly are not the number one seed without him. But that's not the discussion we're having right now. We can maybe have that. I'm sure in a couple of weeks we'll have a more of an MVP discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to decide whether I can, within the Eagles offense, I feel like all of the quarterbacks that you put above Jalen Hurts, well, I don't know about Brock Purdy, but certainly Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen, they could all play really in any offense that they wanted to. I don't necessarily think that's the case. Within the Eagles offense, I'm putting Jalen Hurts at three above Joe Burrow and Brock Purdy. I don't think I can put him ahead of Allen and Mahomes.
Well, if those quarterbacks were playing, it would be a different offense, though. You know what I mean? Like, if Mahomes or Burrow were on the Eagles, they'd be two different offenses than what they run with Jalen Hurts.
Right. No, I'm not saying that, like, they couldn't come into the Eagles. Obviously, the coach would change anything. I'm just saying, like, assuming that you get to put the quarterback in the offense they're best in.
Yeah, you do. Like, we're talking about, like, on the teams right now.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm putting Jalen Hurts 3, even though I might say Joe Burrow would be a better overall quarterback. If that.
So you know what I'm trying to say? Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow, Brock Purdy, 3-2-1.
I would go Mahomes, Allen, Hurts, Burrow, Purdy. It just, I need Burrow to win a couple more playoff games. He's obviously great. He's on his way.
Okay, Jalen Hurts hasn't won any, if that's your argument.
He's on his way. Well, yeah, but he's an MVP candidate.
I mean, Joe Burrow was last year. I'm just saying, yeah, that's your argument.
Well, yeah, Joe Burrow is not Brock Purdy, though.
Yeah, Brock Purdy's way better.
this is... What I really enjoy about this is I am so bad at being objective about this. You're very good at being objective in always, and this is just the only time where it's like, no, Brock Purdy is the best, and I will not stand for it.
It's literally the only time I've been happy watching the 49ers, and I'm not used to it, but it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So this is a new color that we are seeing on Jake.
Let me ask you this before I go. If you had to pick Brock Purdy or Johnny Unitas, who would you pick?
Do I assume that if Johnny Unitas were playing today, he would have gone through all of the quarterback camps and everything that Brock Purdy has?
Yeah.
Johnny Unitas.
That's absurd. Okay. What about Brock Purdy or Peyton Manning?
I am excited to see Brock Purdy beat the Cowboys and for him to have a great long career. See, this is the other thing we need to talk about. We should do this in the offseason. I'm not even sure Brock Purdy is going to be the 49ers starter next season.
I'm trying not to think about that problem because right. I have Trey Lance back to fantasy football.
Because it's going on to my be a dynasty problem. Team. Yeah.
But if Brock Purdy wins the NFC and goes to the Super Bowl, it's hard not to start him.
It's very hard not to start him. So do you trade Trey Lance then?
Well, who would you be your backup? Here's the thing. Because both of them are on a rookie contract. So I feel like with both of them, I don't know, they paid so much. If they can get a first, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully Brock Purdy just wins the Super Bowl and then we figure that out in the offseason.
Figure out later, yeah. Because
I don't know what they would do.
I mean, it is shaping out, and I'm knocking on I'm going to knock on wood right after I say this, but we are en route to a very, very fun NFC Championship with the Eagles 49ers.
I'm excited about it. I think that would be a very fun hypothetical game.
Yeah.
If that happens. Appreciate everybody listening. We'll get Matt on board with Brock Purdy. You just need to, you know, watch him beat the Cowboys, watch him against the Eagles if they get there. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Here. If they beat the Eagles, then I will accept ranking him ahead of Jalen Hurts. We can do that.
That is a lot more than I thought I would get. So that's fair. Yeah. Nailed.
Okay. Because I don't think it's going to happen.
Oh, okay. So you think the Eagles would win that game?
Yeah, well, let's talk about it next week.
All right.
In our preview.
We'll talk about it next week. We'll go through the divisional round matchups, talk about how great Brock Purdy played, and who was going to the Super Bowl. Also next week, Ryan Nani's coming on the show.
Hey.
Really excited about that. Big fan of his, so we'll be talking to him next week about, I honestly don't know what, just some random football stuff, probably. Yeah,
it'll be a good time.
Probably some more NIL stuff, you know, just because it's so wonky and that's kind of his thing. I do appreciate everybody listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.